using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Friday, the 2nd of July, year of our Lord, 2021, day 475 of America Held Hostage. Today we're going to have as our guest in the second hour, Catherine Austin Fitz. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. We're also going to take a look at China. 100 years of blood celebrated by the globalists, by the technocracy, the billionaires who put them in power, think it is just exactly what they want for the rest of the world. We'll be right back. Well, as we are coming to the 4th of July weekend, we have some early fireworks at the Los Angeles Police Department put together. They confiscated about 5,000 pounds, they said, of illegal fireworks, because I think all fireworks are illegal in California, I would imagine, because most Democrat areas have made fireworks illegal. They don't like things that go boom. It's kind of interesting, the connection in my mind of things that explode to freedom. Whether you're talking about internal combustion engines, fireworks, or firearms. So they confiscated this, and this blew up under their custody as they were transporting it, as it was being broadcast on live TV. Absolutely phenomenal explosion. Completely devastated the 18-wheeler that was pulling it. More than 12 individuals seriously injured. I guess maybe under their custody, it was a lot more dangerous than it was in the home. But again, 5,000 pounds of fireworks in someone's home. We have also, I guess, trying to light a spark. You have Matt Gaetz inviting Britney Spears to testify before Congress. Perhaps he's hoping he can generate some fireworks there. You know, when I look at this guy, this clown, he and his wingman remind me of Steve Martin and Dan Aykroyd. Remember those wild and crazy guys? Well, so maybe he's trying to get some fox to come on to Capitol Hill. How pathetic Gaetz and his wingman were. But he is nothing other than a publicity clown, and I guess this proves it, because he wants to piggyback onto the Britney Spears issue. This is what everybody is paying attention to, isn't it? Britney Spears, Bill Cosby, and the Trump Organization getting some tax charges against them. Now, let's not be concerned about the things that actually affect our lives. We want to help, he said. He and fellow Republican representatives have been following her conservatorship battle with deep concern, and they stand with the pop star. I cannot conceal my contempt for these GOP representatives who have allowed, they call themselves conservative, they have put the entire country under a conservatorship. Do they care about that? Do they care that we are being ruled in a worse way by Fauci? No, Trump didn't care. Gaetz didn't care. None of these Republican conservatives cared about conserving the rule of law, conserving the Constitution, or the rest of this stuff. They're content to let us survive as best as we can under a system that is worse than what she has been put under. He says, I truly believe that this conservatorship is abusive. Yeah, that's what she said. Well, I believe that our conservatorship is abusive. And I believe that these frauds, these Republicans, haven't lifted a finger or said a word unless they can use it for political gain against Biden. I predicted that. And I said, if you watch, if Trump gets reelected, there will be nothing at all even said about what happens this last year and going forward. Now they're complaining a little bit here and there when they can get some political capital out of it. You have Eric Adams, who was ahead in the election, he's very concerned about what's going on in New York City. And I don't know if I covered it here. I don't think I did, because I thought it was not central issue. It was kind of funny. I remember laughing about it with the family. The fact that there were charges that he didn't even live in New York City, that he had a place in New Jersey. And so he invited people to come to some apartment that he said was his domicile. And he invited the journalists to come in and look at his refrigerator. He showed them his restroom, and they were even saying, this is really kind of bizarre. Well, he came out on top in the intersectionality ranking of identity politics that is New York City mayoral politics. And then, of course, they had some issues because his lead just started melting away. And now they're explaining this as saying, well, they had 135,000 so-called test ballots that they forgot to clear out. You believe that story? We could sell you a bridge in the borough that he is president of, the Brooklyn borough. That's where he is. Later in the statement, the board said there were 135,000 ballot images that it placed into its election system for testing reasons that they just forgot to clear out. Yeah, exactly. And then as we look at the insanity, especially the political insanity of our country, I want you to see what happened when a Republican representative in Ohio, and for the backdrop of this, you have the Republican controlled House of Representatives in Ohio passed legislation that would forbid males from acting as females, transgender, quote-unquote, women, competing in sports. They're very concerned about that. I don't know they're doing anything to stop the grooming of children in kindergarten by drag queens and other more subtle methods. I don't think they're talking about that. They're only going to talk about the athletic side of this, which I think is a big problem for the Republicans, but it's even a bigger problem. Even that issue, they had the House Republicans passed that, a prohibition of males competing against females, males who identify as female so they can win. And yet the Senate Republicans in Ohio don't want to have anything to do with it, and neither does the Republican governor, Mike DeWine. Do you see how this shakes out? The more power Republicans get, the more they become like Democrats. Isn't that true? And so they're not going to support that. They don't want to have anything to do with a bill that bans, quote-unquote, transgender girls and women from playing women's sports. So that's the background. Now, here's Gina Powell, a GOP representative, who is going to defend and the sexes when it comes to sports. And quite frankly, I agree with them on principle, but I think this is a side issue. The real issue is coming after children, and they don't want to touch that. That's too controversial for these Republicans. They aren't going to do anything to stop that. But this is what happens to her as she's starting to read the bill. I want you to see the reaction, the childish Antifa reaction of these Democrats to her as she's reading the bill.
Move to amend with Amendment 1594.
The chair has the amendment. The amendment appears to be in order. The representative may proceed.
Wonderful. The Save Women's Sports Act is a fairness issue for women to be able to achieve their dreams and athletics in our state, and is crucial to preserving women's rights and the integrity of women's and girls' sports. Across our country, female athletes are currently losing scholarships, opportunities, medals, education, and training opportunities. This amendment will require schools that are part of the OHSAA to designate separate teams for participants of the biological sex. No school interscholastic conference or organization that regulates interscholastics shall permit biological males to participate on athletic team or an athletic competition designated only for biological female participants.
I'm going to show you a picture. You hear that, ooh, ooh, banging on the desk. Those are Democrats identifying as kindergartners, identifying as Antifa. And I want to show you another camera angle so you can see one of the biggest Democrats there, and I mean that literally. This guy is very large. He reminds me of a walrus without the tusks, and he is one of the key people banging on the desk and like a walrus, quite frankly. Here's the picture. I'll show you this different angle here. There he is. And you wonder why we can't get the things that we need from government. What a clown show this thing is. Republican and Democrat. Again, the Republicans don't have the guts to protect kindergartners, and the Democrats act like kindergartners. And it is Antifa tactics. I'll never forget when my wife and daughter went to the Austin abortion clinic. They had signs that said black genocide, and Antifa showed up. And this is well before Antifa was really that well known. I mean, they had an active chapter here in Austin because, you know, this is Austin. And these people showed up who had been having parades where they carried the hammer and sickle and all the rest of the stuff. And we'll talk about that when we get to China. But open Marxist, they really understand what the red means. That's the other thing. It's just, I look at the Republicans self-identifying as red, red states, red this, red that. And it's like, you people are so controlled. You don't even understand the paradigm they put you into. You don't care about the labels they give you. You don't understand anything, anything. This MAGA cult with their red caps. Hand them a little red book from Mao. They probably don't bother to read anything anyway. So they showed up, Antifa did, and Karen and my daughter had signs. And they showed up with signs that were just black. They said nothing, nothing at all, and tried to put that sign in front of Karen's sign, and she moved her sign up. He moved his sign up. She moved hers down. He moved his down. So they're going back and forth, up and down, up and down. But that's the whole point. They have nothing to say. They're simply about censorship. They don't care to debate, and we should not bother to debate them either. We just have to understand we're not going to be ashamed of what we understand, what we value. We're not going to be shamed by them. We're not going to be censored by them. And that's what these people are trying to do. They don't want to debate this representative. They want to shout her down by banging on the desk and hooting. Ooh, ooh. Big fat guy. Unbelievable. But here's what Governor DeWine, the Republican, said about this. He said, government shouldn't involve itself in sports. Well, I agree. Okay. Let's stop subsidizing sports. Let's stop paying for all this stuff. Let's just defund it completely, along with the rest of the schools. Issues. He says, Governor DeWine, this issue is best addressed outside of government through individual sports leagues and athletic associations, including the Ohio High School Athletic Association, who can tailor policies to meet the needs of their member athletes and member institutions. Does this sound like the Republicans responding to big tech censorship? What? We don't want to have big government. We don't want to have a government that actually, I don't know, protects your liberties and your rights, right? That's not what we're about. That should be done, and we'll let somebody else decide that. Other organizations decide it, because we're not going to protect you at all. No, no, that's the only purpose of government. The only purpose of government. Government has federal government is tasked with defending our country against military attack, primarily. Other government agencies, if they're legitimate, their primary function is to protect our God-given liberties, not to hand them out to us as privileges, not to hand over our liberties to corporations who can steal them. And I've said this many times. My human rights, my God-given liberties, are more important than my property, my physical property. So if the Republicans are going to stand aside and let big corporations steal my First Amendment rights. That's, to me, worse than if they stood aside and let them come up and just go through my house and take whatever they wanted, or to take my house. And so, anyway, she is the representative who put this through, on her Facebook page, says biological males do not belong in women's sports. But I guess the drag queens are okay for kinder grooming. This, it bothers me to no end to see the GOP focused exclusively on this issue, exclusively on that aspect. The point of the spear and the big point of this is the pedophile grooming of young children. And they better get on board with that. I'm just fed up with it. A new French law shows where this is all headed, as a matter of fact. This is all an attack on the family, and it's an attack on men as well. In a new French law, the state will pay for medically assisted procreation for lesbians and single women. And you can have a female partner identify as second parent. Second parent. They have tried to purge the terms mother and father out, and so now they're going to have parent one, parent two. Also in this bill, in case you don't understand what this is really about, they have authorization of the creation of animal human chimeras, transhumanism, using only animal embryos to which human genetic material will be added. Let's see, who else is it that does that? Oh, that's right. When the FDA and the NIH and Fauci were working with Planned Parenthood and the University of Pittsburgh, looking for specific organs, murder for hire, take these organs from the babies, I want them fresh, not frozen. What was their purpose? It was to make humanized mice for medical research, they said. And so this is something that is being done everywhere, but of course in France they are quite open about it. Here they would rather not talk about it, at least for now. The production of human reproductive cells, or model embryos, is also provided for. The embryos will be able to be selected also according to characteristics that would ensure the birth of a compatible donor for an older sibling who has health problems. Do you see the issues here? How far away are we from having kids so that you can then creating artificial insemination of children, looking at them genetically to make sure that they are compatible with you for organ donation, and then to just use them for spare parts. It's called cannibal medicine. It's what I call it. And that's what all this is about. All this research, all of this using babies, using humanized mice, murder for hire to get the organs, the selective abortions after making sure that this child, once it comes to full term, is going to have parts that you can take. Do you understand where this is headed? It's transhumanism, but it's also a step before that, and that is cannibal medicine. And a brave new world where we have no families, no mothers and fathers. That has been the ideal of the technocrats, the 1930s. I mean, Elon Musk, all these people coming from the same club, if you will. And this desire has always been there with people who seek to rule us, going back to Plato's Republic. He wanted to have a situation, his ideal situation, you would have the elites ruling everybody, you would have the enforcers, the military, whatever, the guardians that would protect them and enforce their rule, and then the rest, the mass of people, the common people, the hoi polloi. And they would not know who their parents were. For them, the state would be their parent. And that would be where their loyalty and their identity lay. Americans are going to be allowed to self-select gender on passport, as I pointed out yesterday. And not only that, not only can you choose which gender you want to be, but you can also have a third gender option. It might have been on the radio program I mentioned that. I think I talked about a guy in the UK who had 18 operations. He said he was transracial. He said his operations had changed him into being Korean. Hey, he's a white Caucasian European. But he had operations where he altered his facial appearance, and he says, now I'm Korean. So I said, well, maybe. Can I identify on my passport as being Korean? I don't know if the guy is North or South Korean. He wasn't specific about that. But, yeah, he's transracial because he had a lot of operations. Let me tell you, all you've done is just messed your face up. You haven't changed anything, and that's really what these operations, these genital operations are about as well. The people who have had them deeply regret it. Deeply regret it. So the department, State Department, has moved towards adding a gender marker for non-binary, intersex, and gender non-conforming persons applying for a passport. Isn't that great? That's an accomplishment of the Biden administration. President Trump has now, finally, after 6 months, acknowledged Ashley Babbitt, and that's all he did. He just dropped her name in an email. This is from Chris Minahan, Information Liberation. A statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. Really big. Up at the top, Save America. And then all it says is, who shot Ashley Babbitt? Question mark. Paid for by Save America. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. DonaldJTrump.com. This is the kind of disgusting... Yeah, scroll down and you can show them the actual email. Look at this. Look at that. Oh, that's it. Yeah, don't go any further. Go back up to get the Save America thing. That is the kind of name-dropping that he did with HCQ. What is this HCQ stuff I keep hearing about? You know, this is 6 months on. The first time he's mentioned this. Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, has had more concern about the people who are being railroaded in this over-the-top prosecution. Look, I don't support any of this. Stop the steal, Save America. The whole thing was a thieving operation. It was grifting for audience, for money. It was a horrendous deception of these people. And when this thing blew up, as it was predicted, as I predicted, I said it over and over again. I said it the morning of January the 6th on this program before it blew up. I said it's going to be agent provocateurs. They're going to blow this thing up. And they're going to use it to come after each and every one of us. But the people who were there, even people who were let in by the police after the initial conflicts, violent conflicts, they just started letting people in. Those people are having their lives ruined. Trump has done nothing. As a matter of fact, the day after all of this, as Chris Minahan points out, on January the 7th, Trump called for his supporters to be prosecuted, quote, to the fullest extent of the law. And they're punishing them to the fullest extent of the law and way, way beyond. And he said nothing about it, just as he did nothing for Julian Assange. Just days after he chose to pardon the king of Medicare fraud and to release traitor Jonathan Pollard from parole to go back to Israel. If Trump wants to make this right, says Chris Minahan, he should not only speak out in their defense and acknowledge their torture, but he should contribute to their legal funds from the over $200 million that he raised off of Stop the Steal. You think that's going to happen? You think Alex Jones is going to contribute to their defense? You think that Donald Trump is going to contribute to their defense? They'll let them rot in jail, just as Trump did Julian Assange. Remember, Alex Jones said, he actually predicted the precise time at which Trump was going to pardon Julian Assange. He's also predicted that they're going to arrest Donald Trump on July 4th. I hope that happens, but I seriously doubt that as well. We'll have an update. I will show you that prediction from Alex Jones that he made on May 28th when it doesn't happen. Russian President Vladimir Putin even explicitly acknowledged Babbitt's assassination 2 weeks ago, and he called it an assassination. Best we get from Donald Trump is 6 months later, who shot Ashley Babbitt? I heard something about Ashley Babbitt. What is this Ashley Babbitt thing? This could be huge. It could be like HCQ or something, right? Putin spoke out in defense of the more than 500 protesters who, quote, came with political demands, unquote, and in many cases are now facing decades in prison, being persecuted for their political opinions. Now, you know, Putin will lie about what is going on with his political prisoners. Actually, he doesn't even have a conscience about that anymore. Because when Biden was criticizing him for his political prisoners, he said, don't blame the mirror for you being ugly. In other words, you're doing the same thing, right? They will, always in the past, RT Russia would tell you the truth about the flaws in America, but they would lie about their own. Now they don't even bother to lie about it, and now the Americans don't bother to lie about their flaws either. They just flaunt them in your face. But even Elizabeth Warren, back in April, condemned the, quote, cruel and psychologically damaging abuse, unquote, that Capitol protesters are being subjected to by being locked in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. I have to say this. If you're still following Trump, you are in an abusive relationship. You're in a relationship with somebody that exploits and abuses you and cares nothing about you. Nothing. Steals your money, steals your life, destroys your country. It is an abusive relationship. Here's another abusive relationship. Do you support the troops on this 4th of July? You're going to hear a lot about that. We've had over 30,000 soldiers and vets of all these post-9/11 wars have killed themselves. This is from Free Thought Project. It's no secret that the leading cause of death among active duty troops deployed to the Middle East is not combat, not accidents, not IEDs, improvised explosive devices. It's themselves. The Pentagon's own statistics show that this is a crisis that is being ignored. The most recent data shows that the veteran kills himself or herself in the United States about once every hour and 26 minutes. 6,100 veterans over the last year. And yet the wars go on. And the people like Dick Cheney and their spawn like Liz Cheney, she will now be sitting in judgment in the bipartisan committee picked by Nancy Pelosi. She'll be sitting in judgment of the so-called Capitol riots. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. We'll lead into this a little bit with some cheering by Stephen Colbert of the vaccines. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com. All right, and on this 4th of July weekend, I just want to remind you again that Gerald Celente will be having his 4th of July celebration on the Four Corners of Freedom, Kingston, New York, this Sunday, 4th of July. He'll have Andrew Napolitano speaking, Judge Andrew Napolitano, and Lynette Zhang, and it'll be starting at 2 o'clock, and you can find out more information about that at Occupy Peace. A very, very nice venue, a nice town that's there. I think you'll enjoy that. If you're anywhere that you can make that trip, I think you'll really enjoy that, especially with the speakers that they have lined up there this time. Again, you can find more information about that at OccupyPeace.com. I love that is more appropriate now than ever, because this last year we have to occupy our lives. We have to occupy the public space because we're now being kicked out of the public space, left and right, by the people with their medical tyranny. And that is the appropriate way to respond to this. So again, this Sunday, 2 o'clock, 4th of July, and I'm sure to be streaming on his YouTube channel as well. Got a couple of notes here I wanted to respond to. This one from Ty. He said, I hope one day you give up on social media. I totally understand your point of view, but I look at social media as being an abusive relationship. Yes, it is. It's like, you know, being on the staff of President Trump. it is an abusive relationship. I feel like I have to be there. It's just, you know, it's a dirty job. Somebody's got to do it. You know, it's I have to go where there are people. And I know that my reach has also at the same time been strictly limited there. But I do need to, you know, get this information out there in the public square. And I need to get it in places where I'm not welcome. And so, yeah, it is a abusive relationship. But anytime you get it in the public square, it's going to be abusive. I mean, if I just post on even these secondary video things, I get a lot of abusive comments there all the time. I get accused of, you know, being evil because I don't love Hitler. I mean, they get all kinds of stuff there. You criticized Hitler today. What are you, a Jew cheer or whatever? And it's like, okay, whatever. Anyway, he says, cancel them like they cancel you. Well, I would suggest that for many of you. And there's other alternative social media, and I need to explore some of them. Maybe some of them are nice. I just think it's built in to the fabric of social media that once people become anonymous, they get very abusive. And what does that tell you about our anonymous government, where everything about them and everything that they do is hidden from us? I talked about this about a month ago. And it was a program, they did an extensive interview with a guy who created multiple identities for people so that they could get on social media, so that they could do a lot of different things, working for the government. It's a vast program. And he's creating identities, I mean, getting them real-life identities, P.O. boxes, and driver's license, and passports, and all these types of things, simply so that they can manipulate public opinion. And so when you look at that, and you see how abusive social media is simply because people can be anonymous, the conclusion is that if you have an anonymous government and all these anonymous actors that nobody knows who they are, where they're coming from, what do you think they're going to do? Well, they're going to abuse people. It's one of the reasons why we have such an abusive government, because it is held secret from us. And the founders warned us of that. They said you're going to have tyranny if everything the government does and all of its actors is hidden from you. And everything the government does is hidden from us. It doesn't matter if it's the Federal Reserve. We can't audit that. We can't look at anything that the government does. We don't even know who these people are. We're not allowed to know who they are. They operate in the dark. That is a prescription for disaster. Social media shows you that. Anyway, he finishes up here. P.S. No offense, but I pray you're not controlled. let me just say this. I'll quote Christofferson. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. They don't have anything I want. If I wanted what they have, I would have done things differently. This is from, didn't write the name down here, but this is a handwritten note. Thank you very much, whoever wrote this. I'll just say what is on here. Thank you for your service and your honesty. They sent a donation. Said eight people believed God and got on Noah's Ark. Eight people out of everyone on the planet. Staggering when you think about it. Let God continue to be your guiding light. Thank you very much. Yes, there is a control. I am controlled by God. Hopefully. I try as much as I can be to be controlled by God. It's not perfect. Sometimes I go off of the, I get out of control, but I try to be controlled by God. I was just talking about how many people, how many veterans have committed suicide and the rate that that is happening. And you know, 6,100 people a year, this last year, and yet how many people did we lose in 6 months? Well, about 6,100. And what does that tell us if we crank through the numbers? That tells us that one person is being killed by these COVID vaccines in the United States alone. One person is dying every 40 minutes. Every 40 minutes, someone is dying from this vaccine. That doesn't talk about all the people that are being harmed by this. It goes up over 100,000. So every few minutes, a couple of minutes, I should crank that out, get the updated statistics. And talk about how many people are being injured seriously for life by this vaccine and how many minutes passed between that. The World Economic Forum, Davos, as LifeSite News reports, is proposing a psychological plan to overcome vaccine hesitancy. Well, this is nothing new. As a matter of fact, it was last August, almost a year ago, 11 months. It was August the 11th that I did a report on this on my broadcast, my show that day. And then I did an article about it the next day on August the 12th that you can still find up at roundtablereport.com. And I'll talk a little bit about that because, again, this is nothing new. And that PSYOP and the plans of how they were to do it were actually quite a bit more detailed than the World Economic Forum, but they're all on the same page. That was a Yale study that was being done with government funding, and they had a control group of several thousand people, and they were trying these messages on several thousand people. But this is what the World Economic Forum just recently put on their website. It's a piece that was authored by three professionals in marketing. Now, why marketing? If you go back and you look at the guy who really put Madison Avenue together and put it on the map and made it such an effective force, that was Edward Bernays. Edward Bernays, back in World War I, did the propaganda for Woodrow Wilson. As a matter of fact, he predated Joseph Goebbels. Does that strike a bell? The guy that we always talk about being, oh yeah, Goebbels, that's straight on propaganda. Well, he learned his trade from Edward Bernays, and then Bernays went into marketing, all the marketing that we saw with radio and television, as well as print. So they got professionals, World Economic Forum did, professionals from marketing at Harvard's Business School, Sydney's University of Technology, and a professor of marketing at the Business School at University of California, Irvine. This group conducted research into how to combat what they described as a demand problem for COVID injections, because they've got a lot of supply, but we don't want it at this point. This led them to suggest creating and implementing such solutions to inform, persuade, and convince customer segments to act. If they can get you, this is why I show all the commercials about the cigarettes. It's the same thing. You know, most doctors prefer Camel, or most doctors prefer this other leading brand. Or look at this, we have women's tennis players back in the 1970s, because that was the leading edge of the women's rights movement there, the tennis players. And look at these healthy young women, they're smoking. You should be smoking too, because that would make you a healthy young woman. telling people if they've got a problem, Coca-Cola, I played the old ads from Coca-Cola. Everybody knew they were starting to get heavy from drinking too much Coke, so they have a very attractive, thin woman saying, I drink Coca-Cola because it actually helps me to lose weight. Because then I don't want to eat as much because I can just drink Cokes all day. Yeah. Yeah, that's the ticket. Just ask Morgan Freeman, my wife. Morgan Fairchild. Now it is Morgan Freeman is his wife, right? That's no, he's not. John Lovitz is not of that tribe, the LGBT tribe. Anyway, the group conducted research into how to combat this, and of course it's all the stuff that they've been using to sell us every kind of garbage that you can imagine for the longest time. They're expert at that. If you want to know how to manipulate people, you go to the marketing people. That's why they're doing all these silly vaccine lotteries and all the rest of this stuff. The scholars want to use psychology to promote vaccines, noting how customers make decisions in a process of thinking, feeling, and taking action. We need to focus on the think and feel stages of decision-making, said the marketing experts. You know, you want to sell the sizzle, not the steak. And so what is it that you sell with what is the sizzle for the vaccine? Well, it's got a whole lot of things, but they suggested that the first thing that they've got to do is combat misinformation. Because, you see, the attack on the First Amendment that they did prior to this, they were laying the groundwork for what they did in 2020. Because, as we can see, with about the only platform that hasn't been censored up to this point, the Dark Horse platform, still on YouTube, but now they've cut their monetization. They started taking down some videos. That's a prelude to taking the channel off of YouTube altogether. But they had shot up to several million views per video. And if they had not purged all of us off, there would have been no way that they could have pulled off the lies of 2020. All right, and the joys of live broadcasting there. I know we've taken care of that technical problem, and we're back. Anyway, we were talking about the fact that they were focusing on misinformation. That is their number one issue with the marketing people. It is all about free speech, and that's why they took free speech out before they took out this country. That's how vital a free press is. If they have a controlled press, that has been the key thing in terms of taking over and running this PSYOP that we've had this last year. And so to push back against this, yes, they want social media censorship. That's why we have to stay on social media as much as we can to fight this in as many ways as we can. But then they want to rely on people who are trusted sources, medical providers, political. You trust any politicians at this point? Yeah, I'm afraid that the left and the right do. And then faith-based leaders. And this is why I've taken on the people like Al Mohler, Robert Jeffress, Franklin Graham, others, the Pope, all these people who are pushing this because people trust them. They are pushing this, either have not done their research or they are doing this for other motives. But what they're saying is not true, and what they're saying has to be opposed regardless of what their motives are. So we don't have to judge their motives. We just say, this is a bold-faced lie. This is nothing but talking points from the establishment that's being pushed by religious leaders that, unfortunately, many people trust. They talk about how incentives can work. They talk about Mike DeWine. And I'll just repeat. In Ohio, 5.5 million people vaccinated. You got five people going to win $1 million. You got less than one in a million chance of winning. But just for heart disease, as Reuters reported, the advisory panel of the CDC, when they put together their information, just looking at young people, it's a much bigger problem than this. They want to pretend that it is only young males that are having heart disease issues because they dismiss any heart disease issues from older people as being from a different source. They're only talking about it with young people because they can't avoid the fact that it's their vaccines. But then again, you also have to understand that the young people don't have any risk according to their other statistics. So why would you put up with a risk that says 12.6 people per million are going to come down with this issue? So you have about a 13 times higher chance of getting heart disease, and that's only one of the many, many problems that come with these vaccines. A 13 times greater chance of winning that than the incentives of winning $1 million. But back last August, I talked about the Yale clinical study that was published on the NIH's website. And here are the 10 angles that in August of last year, they were talking about. They had already done their study and released it over 4,000 people. These are the 10 angles that they found to be effective. Guilt, embarrassment, anger, personal freedom, economic freedom, self-interest, community interest. This is where a lot of these religious leaders come in. Science and authority, as you've seen with Fauci. And then finally, you're not being brave, because we've got our brave first responders who have signed up to take this experimental vaccine, and you're just cowards if you're not taking this experimental vaccine. So this is something they've been working at for a long time. They know exactly how to manipulate people psychologically, and if they can shut down any opposition, it works, as we can see this last year. Each message was measured on its ability to nudge. You know where that came from? Remember Cass Sunstein? This guy's pushing a nudge. Yeah, this is how we can gradually move people in the direction that we want. And so they've been working at this for a very, very long time. I pointed out at the time, Fox News is wringing its hands, this is last August, saying that only a third of the people, would not take the vaccine, even if it was free. I said, are you kidding me? Even if it's free, we've spent tens of billions of dollars already on this thing. So they have fine-tuned and tested this propaganda more than they have the vaccine. Or perhaps they did test the vaccine. Maybe the vaccine is doing exactly what they wanted. Teachers Union, NEA, the largest teachers union, is agreeing to promote critical race theory. And then they are going to debate and probably recommend mandatory vaccination for students and for staff. And I tweeted this out yesterday. I said, I think this is a good thing. I hope that they actually do that, because we need to have a large pool of teachers free of these re-education camps run by the government, who are fed up with the bureaucracy, but who still would like to teach. We're going to need a lot of them because there's going to be a lot of students who don't want to have this stuff either. We need to start creating our parallel society. And the cost of all of this, don't wait for your government funding and handout. That's how they control you. The cost is going to be that you're going to have to do this without any financial subsidy from these people while you are still taxed to run these government Marxist re-education camps they call schools. And when we get enough people, at that point, we can defund these re-education camps they call schools. They're proposing a vaccine requirement, and they are already on in terms of promoting critical race theory. One last vaccine issue, and then I want to talk quickly about China before we have Catherine Austin Fitz join us. Out of the UK, one individual says, well, why you've been distracted by Matt Hancock's affair? Remember, this is the guy who was the health authority. He's kind of like their Fauci, lecturing everybody about what they should do. And then they found out that, like some of these other quote-unquote scientists who recommended all of this isolation and lockdown, they're having secret liaisons, sexual affairs with people. Matt Hancock actually is married. They saw him. They had pictures of him because they've got cameras everywhere in the UK. So they got a picture of him kissing his employee. So they're very upset about that. You know, there's a power imbalance there. But, you know, he broke the rules, not the marriage rules. They don't care. That's the last thing they care about. They don't care what he did to his wife and family. It's like, well, he had an affair with a subordinate, an employee. And then he also violated the rules that he had out there. So that while you've been distracted by that, PHE in the UK released a report showing that 62% of alleged COVID deaths are people who've been vaccinated. Think about that. Now the vast majority, two-thirds of the people now dying of quote-unquote COVID are the vaccinated in the UK, doing exactly, I think, what it was designed to do, making you more susceptible to further infections. And if you're injured by any of this, there's an article on childrenshealthdefense.org saying you've been injured by one of these COVID vax, you want some financial compensation, too bad. There's a law firm in Florida, Maglio, Christopher, and Toll. They've litigated more vaccine-related injuries in the past 5 years than any other law firm. But as people have been calling him, he told Reuters that they've been inundated with a few hundred people, at least, and blood clots, heart disease, other issues. And he says, guess what? You're not going to get anything. First of all, this doesn't fall even under the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, what we call the Vaccine Court. It's difficult enough to get any compensation there, but this falls under something different. This is the Countermeasure Injury Compensation Program, as I've mentioned before. This was put in after 9/11, as they anticipated doing this to us. Yeah, we're going to rush out vaccines. That's been what they've been rehearsing since Dark Winter. Yeah, we're going to have a pandemic. Maybe it's going to be deliberate. We're going to lock everybody down until we rush out a vaccine, and then if people are injured with this, we are not going to compensate them. As they point out, this Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, which is what this falls under, almost never awards money. And if they do award any money, it is capped at $250,000. And we got people who are way past that with their vaccine injuries. We had the 100th anniversary of China. Chinese celebrating, that is, if you look at that big 100 there, this is from a distance as you look at this picture. That is spelled out by humans. Humans. This is like a massive halftime show, the way they used to do them. Not with, with marching bands. It's absolutely insane, the stuff that they've been putting there. And, of course, here it is, 1921. To 2021, the big red arches and the hammer and sickle and the mass of people that are there shooting up a hammer and sickle there in Sichuan, up and projecting it up into the sky. This is what they've been doing, congratulating themselves. Well, let's take a look at some of the accomplishments of the Chinese. They have been able to kill more people than any other country in history under Marxism. And, of course, the the 100th anniversary of this that they're celebrating is not really the 100th anniversary of communism controlling China. That's the 100th anniversary of the creation of that Communist Party. They really didn't come into power and start to kill people massively, you know, really start to exercise their brutality, their torture, and the rest of this stuff until it was about 1945 when they purged and finally won the Civil War with the Chinese nationalists who fled to the island of Formosa and created Taiwan. And so this is a big part of the celebration as you had Xi Jinping don the kind of Chairman Mao outfit. I think he borrowed this from Hillary Clinton. But he's got an old gray Mao suit. And he said he's committed to the reunification of Taiwan, to stability in Hong Kong. And he vowed that any outside bullying powers would inevitably, quote, get their heads bashed. Well, they're pretty good at head bashing, quite frankly. They've had a lot of experience over the last 100 years. They've bashed people in the heads. They have tortured people. They have done this type of thing. These are some of the instruments that people have collected to show what they've done. This is a special kind of a chair that they have there where they wrap you up in chains and then they put stuff underneath your feet to bend your legs backwards at the knees. They have electric cattle prods that they have done. And this particular picture right here is the mass sentencing preceding the mass execution of people that they do annually. And they give out tickets to that. And I guess it's a very effective event because it shows people who is in charge there, doesn't it? But Taiwan is a big sticking point with them. We had some friends who adopted from China. As a matter of fact, they were the ones who helped to show us what to do. And they, she was from Taiwan, her family was. The adoption agency, said, take that off of your application or they will reject that. You do not tell people that you're from Taiwan because even back then, 20 years or so ago, Taiwan didn't exist in their mind. So as they are pushing against this and rattling the sabers, it was just 2 weeks ago, you had China send in a record 28 fighters toward Taiwan after telling NATO, we will not sit back. And this happened, the previous record was 20 aircraft, and these are fighter jets, bombers and other planes like that. They had done 20 back in March, and so then 2 weeks ago, they sent in 28. This was happening as the U.S. was entering the South China Sea, which China has now claimed to be theirs, and they've created artificial islands to set up military bases there. But apart from that, what they have done internally is one of the most amazing things. The executions, the sterilizations, the cannibal banquets that have happened there, the mass murder that they've had. And you know the response from our technocratic elite? Well, you have the partner of Buffett at Berkshire Hathaway, Charlie Munger, said, you know, he absolutely loves what they're doing. Listen to the effusive praise that he has. Charlie Munger, this is reported by CNN. Charlie Munger praised the Chinese government for silencing Alibaba's Jack Ma in a recent interview. This guy is now 97 years old, and he's been like the partner all these years of Warren Buffett. He said the communists did the right thing in the way they handled Ma because he criticized officials in Beijing, so that's what he deserves, right? He's no longer been in the public eye since they came after him. Munger said that China essentially just called in Jack Ma and told him, you aren't going to do it, sonny, and they said, to hell with you. And so you want to get into banking or something? Well, you're not going to do that unless we tell you you can do that. You see, the people like Munger and Warren Buffett and like Elon Musk, Elon Musk was slammed for praising China as, quote, truly amazing. All of these billionaires, these technocrats, these corporate elitists who are pushing this great reset on us, they handpicked China. They made China what it is today, a mixture of fascist corporatism and communism, a brutal regime of slavery and thievery. That is exactly what they want for the rest of the world. And when we look at what they are celebrating here on their 100th anniversary of the creation of the Chinese Communist Party, we should understand that it is in every way the ideal system of what the technocrats want. I said that 2020 was the year that the world became China, and I got banned off of YouTube for saying that. But it's true. It's never been more true. That is the ideal model for the society that they want to have. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. Do you have Catherine? Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. I'm going to give you a little Lucky Spike commercial just so you can see how effective the marketing always is then and now.
Light up, Lucky, it's light up time. Be happy, go lucky, it's light up time.
For the taste that you like, light up a Lucky Strike.
Relax, it's light up time.
Our friend Happy Joe Lucky has the right idea. Relax and light up a better tasting Lucky Strike. You'll find that Luckies do taste better, and for good reasons. First, LSMFT. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
I got my COVID-19 vaccination, and here's why. This isn't about gimmicks or sentiment or what commercial I like. This is about facts. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Millions of doses have already been given in the United States, and these vaccines have the most intensive safety monitoring in U.S. history. When you need more information, use a reliable source like the CDC website and get the facts.
All right, and joining us now is Catherine Austin Fitz. It's always a pleasure to have Catherine on. You'll find her work at Solari.com, S-O-L-A-R-I.com, and I wanted to get her on primarily to talk about the forms that she has there. She's taking proactive measures to help you in terms of this, these COVID-19 injections, employer and school disclosure forms, family financial disclosure forms for COVID-19 injections. Tell us a little bit about that, Catherine, and thank you for joining us.
So I'm a great believer, as you know, in transparency, as are you.
Yes. Yes.
And this started, I worked for many years, I no longer do, as an investment advisor serving individual families. And one of the things I discovered, David, is the extraordinary expense of vaccine injury.
Yes. Yes.
So vaccine injury can bankrupt a family and destroy the futures of everybody in the family, the siblings, everybody else. So this is, it's not only a devastating health experience, it's a major financial disaster.
Yes.
So I started, what I realized as soon as the injection effort started with the COVID-19 injections, I said, you know, families are going to need to make sure that they achieve informed consent. And then if someone in the family wants to take this, even after the proper due diligence and informed consent, I want them to demonstrate to the rest of the family that they have provided, whether it's healthcare resources, financial resources, and caregiving resources, the resources necessary to protect the family from a bankruptcy.
So, and that's very important, because I talked absolutely about one lady's story in particular. She has been left paralyzed, and she's incontinent, and she has to have family members even take her to the bathroom, and she has a $1.5 million medical bill. I contrasted that to the vaccine lotteries, where you get $1 million, and that's what people need to think about. You know, you have a higher chance, you have a 13 times higher chance of getting heart disease than you do of winning these $1 million lotteries, and you need to start thinking about what it's going to look like when you can't work, you've got massive bills, and your family has to take time off of work to help you.
So the family financial disclosure form is based on the financial disclosure forms that we use to do health proxies within a family to plan for healthcare problems and emergencies. But it was really created because I had so many subscribers and members of my audience who were trying to educate their spouse, and their spouse felt pressured by their employer, mm-hmm. or, you know, social, you know, I can't play bridge and I can't play tennis with my club unless I... No, really.
These
are the things that happen. And so,
I had a listener send me a thing saying he got kicked out of the poker game that he'd been in for decades up in New York because he was the only one who wouldn't take a vaccine.
Right. And so this is so that one spouse can turn to the other spouse and walk them through the due diligence necessary to understand the potential healthcare, you know, the chances of an adverse event or death, and then the financial ramifications, and hold them responsible to provide.
That's such a
because
great idea.
It came to me first when I would have people who were fairly wealthy clients who were grandparents say to me, you know, it's my child's decision whether they vaccinate my grandchildren. It's not my business. And I would say, oh, yes, it is your business, because present value, a material adverse event on a vaccine injury could cost you $5 million. And your child doesn't have $5 million, and you do. So you've spent mm-hmm. your whole life working and saving and being careful and prudent so you can fund one unnecessary vaccine injury. I don't think so. And I think that's your business.
Yes.
You know, because you are going to pay. And they always say, yeah, I'm always going to pay no matter what. We did the family financial disclosure form. And a lot of the way it's been successful is by helping one busy spouse help another spouse with understanding the true healthcare and legal and financial ramifications of a vaccine injury. So that was first. Then we started to see mandates by schools and or employers, and maybe not completely a mandate because, of course, the injection is only emergency authorization, but real pressure. And so this was to turn back to the employer and say, okay, or is my workman compensation going to cover me? Do you have disability insurance for me? You know, what about my life insurance? Will it cover it? Since this is an experimental injection, it's not authorized, you know, mm-hmm. and so I'm participating as a guinea pig in a trial. You know, are you going to keep my job open? Are you going to keep, you know, is my healthcare insurance going to come? We've seen situations where the employers have mandated it, but then when there's a vaccine injury, the healthcare won't cover it and they won't file for workman's compensation.
That's right. Yeah, right.
Absolutely. So there is an imbalance between risk and reward in this thing. And so the employer and school forms were created for, you know, most parents are not skilled attorneys. So this was designed to sort of get the best thinking of people who know about vaccine injury, people who know sort of the medical requirements on informed consent, attorneys together to write something. And we got tremendous help from many of the Children's Health Defense and other groups who Polly Tommy, you know, a lot of people gave input. So this was sort of the best thinking for employers and schools. It's going to get evolved because if Pfizer manages to get a full authorization, you know, it's no longer emergency authorization. And that means sort of the form needs to be a little bit different. The final form that we just published is something called the parent consent form. And this is a form to take into your school that makes sure that your school as a legal matter cannot accept a consent from your child.
Yes, because that's happening in the U.S. in several different jurisdictions.
Absolutely.
It's happening in other countries where you have to give them permission to go on a field trip, but they can vaccinate your child without you having any knowledge of it.
Right. So this is designed, and the guy who gets the credit for this, because we just finished the other forms, and I was talking with Jerry Day, who's done fabulous work with notices of liability on 5G and smart meters. And if you haven't had him on, David, he'd be a great guest for you. Anyway, so
yes.
Jerry, I said, you know, I really want to do this, but the whole team is exhausted. So Jerry did the first draft and that got us going. And so it's by Jerry and then our attorneys helped. And we put in great instructions in the form on how to handle it. On the employer form, Jerry made a great video on sort of how to go about mailing this form or using this form. So there's instructions with it as well. And this is really to make sure that if you're going to send your child to a school that would dare do this, that they're going to think twice about it. And it's going to force them again to do the due diligence because people are pushing these things without realizing the danger.
Yes.
And
yes.
The danger is I spend a lot of time, David, trying to cover what the top doctors and scientists who are trying to figure out what's in the stuff and what it's doing. And I, you know, it looks like Mike Yaden, the former Pfizer scientist, may be right that this is really a sterilization program. Or he never said it was a sterilization program. He said he was extremely concerned about what it would do to fertility in women.
Yes.
And if you look at what's been coming out, particularly, I don't know if you saw the news coming out of the Japanese health agency.
Yes.
You know, bridal. This is having this could have a dramatic impact on fertility. We just had a dairy company down under in a New Zealand journal just announce its earnings, and the stock traded off not because of its earnings, but because one of its Chinese competitors had announced that they were lowering earning projections because of infertility in women taking the vaccination.
Wow. Wow. And so, what you were talking about with the Japanese study, that's about biodistribution, I believe. Bridal, I think, picked that up. They were talking about how the spike protein is distributed throughout the body, but it's also especially concentrated in reproductive organs, especially in women and ovaries. And so it is, that is the thing that they are having your body manufacture, and that is the thing that causes all the deleterious effects.
I'm told it's called lipid toxicity is what's doing this to the ovaries. But my understanding is the spike protein tears away at the vascular walls, and that's what's causing the clotting. And then whether the neurological damage or the heart damage or the, you know, it depends on where the clots end up and what they do. But it's basically a tearing of the vascular walls, and we're seeing leakage. And then, you know, the frightening thing is where that stuff goes, including, you know, places like the ovary. So, you know, the challenge here is I don't think we know for sure everything that's in these injections, and we don't know for sure without, you know, say 5 years from now, we'll probably have a better sense of what they do. But
yes,
all the reports I'm getting from around the world indicate that whatever, you know, what they're calling the Delta variant is vaccine injury.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. And we've seen, I just reported that out of the UK, 62% of the people who they report as having died from COVID are vaccinated people. That's what's happened there in the UK. So they inject the harmful spike protein into people. They inject the mRNA code, have your body, they don't inject the spike protein, but they inject the mRNA to have your body manufacture that. We don't know what other effects the mRNA is doing, what other things it's programming. That's where we're going to see this in the long term.
Right. So my vision of how we're going to win this, how we're going to turn this around, is what we're trying to do is get tools to people. And that's what these consent forms. So we've done four forms, and they're designed to help you in a variety of different situations do due diligence and turn things around in the schools and turn things around with the employers and turn things around on the ground. Because if 5% of the people in any business or community can essentially go to InfoWar with this form, you know, because this is really an intelligence war. And if they can do that on the ground, I have seen situation after situation, the employers back up, the schools back up, you know, when faced with real facts and real liabilities. One of my subscribers was in a doctor's office the other day and turned to the guy next to him and said, you know, are you getting an injection? And he said, oh, no, I used to work for an insurance company. I saw all the lawsuits. Which is amazing when you think about it, because these, you know, everybody's got protection. The pressure not to report the vaccine injuries is off the charts.
Yes.
Because, of course, everybody in the medical establishment is very concerned about liability. And that's why there's a wonderful group in Europe, Doctors for COVID Ethics, who has been delivering notices of liability to the parliament. And they just finished a round of notices of liability to the German doctors. Because what they're saying to people is, you know, when this all comes out, whether people are sterilized or whether they're injured or killed, you know, you're going to be liable.
And that's the thing we have to understand.
It's a Nuremberg problem.
Yes, that's the thing we have to understand is that previously, the most well-documented case of vaccine adverse effects was with Pandemrix that they put out with H1N1, and it was a partnership, really, of Moncef Slaoui and Fauci. And that took, the reason that was well documented was because things started showing up 1 year after the vaccination, you started seeing kids with narcolepsy and other issues. And you usually don't have something that shows up that quickly. It usually takes longer for these side effects to show up. That's what's so unusual about this particular vaccine. And because these people can control the press, it doesn't stop them. They just, it's a juggernaut. They just keep going with all this stuff. They don't even slow down.
I was in Switzerland with some of the most wonderful people who've been trying to bring the truth out about what's really going on with these injections. And they were absolutely convinced, David, that the myocarditis in the young people would slow it down or stop it. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, they watched, I believe it was a hearing on FDA about the, you know, their Pfizer's pushing for a full authorization before the school year begins. And they were stunned to realize it was not going to have any effect in slowing this down.
I know. It's absolutely amazing. I've used the analogy, Catherine, of the Boeing 737 MAX. I said, you look at this. They don't put up with that kind of stuff. You have two crashes, 500 people die 5 months apart. And that's it. You shut the thing down, but not with a vaccine. Right. They just keep going.
So,
these forms
so
are
I
excellent.
Believe, as you know, I believe that this is part of what they need to do the going direct reset. So I don't think we're dealing with a scientific or healthcare phenomenon.
No.
I think we're looking at a significant reengineering of the financial system and the national governance system. Globally, it's a global reengineering.
That's right.
And this, you know, getting materials into our body is all part of that reengineering of the financial system.
Yes.
They want to go to an all digital system. And that's why next week we're launching at the Solari Report a new campaign called hashtag Cash Friday, which is every Friday, everybody just use cash.
Oh, that's great.
You know, everybody knows how to eat fish on Friday. Everybody knows how to dress down on Friday. So now we're saying just use cash. Imagine if 5 to 10% of the global population on Fridays just didn't use digital payments, but just use cash. You know, mm-hmm. that could start to take this the other way. And of course, we're going to keep encouraging people move to your local banks and credit unions out of the big banks. If the Fed has to negotiate with a, you know, with 5,000 bank presidents and credit union president or bank presidents in that case, credit unions go someplace else. But, you know, if they have to still manage a highly cash full system with lots of local banks, it's a very different kettle of fish than they can centralize everything into digital systems. Because I'm going to tell you, if they move everything into digital systems with CBDC, you know, all the community banks in the country, all the credit unions gone.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yeah. And you're talking about central bank digital cash. And let's take a look at a couple of things that have come out, both from China and from the Bank of England with just the last couple of weeks. We've had China talk about their digital yuan, and they suggested, well, it will have an expiration date on it because they want you to spend the money quickly so you don't have any savings or any wealth. But then even more amazing is what just came out about 10 days ago, and that is the Bank of England saying that they want to have digital currency programming so that they can earmark that you can only spend that digital currency on particular essential services, which, of course, Catherine, will be provided by the essential corporations.
Yeah. If they don't want you eating pizza, you can't eat pizza.
That's right.
I sent you I sent your producer a video that I'd love to play. It's only 56 seconds long.
Our analysis on CBDC, in particular for the use of general to the general use, we tend to establish the equivalence with cash. And there is a huge difference there. For example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who's using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also we will have the technology to enforce that. Those two issues are extremely important, and that makes a huge difference with respect to what cash is.
The general manager of the Bank of International Settlements in October 2020, basically saying, you know, the beauty of central bank digital currency, we'll have complete control. We can set the policies and the rules. And, you know, if we don't want you to be doing that, we can enforce.
Yeah, exactly. It gives them total control. You know, we've talked about this in the past and how they could, you know, they could just take all the money out of your account very easily, shut it down. But the way that they're already talking about embedding this for everybody, and if we don't find that video, Catherine, what we'll do is we'll put it in the videos when we post them up, and we'll put it in the podcast as well. So everybody who's listening, if we don't get that in the live broadcast, we'll have that.
It's funny. You can tell people and tell people and tell people, but there's something about seeing it come out of the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Where they realize, oh my God, oh my God, they're really planning on doing this.
I know.
Think about it. They can, you can, let's say they decide you can't move more than, you know, you can't travel more than 5 miles from your home. Your money won't work. They'll have spatial, you know, they'll have place-based control.
Oh yeah. Not just they can put geofencing around your cash. Yeah. So you can't take
so
it anywhere.
So that gets me to the last tool that I sent you, the silver and gold payment calculator.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep telling people, look, we don't need central banks to create money. We can create money. We don't need them, right?
Yes. That's
right. With digital technology, you know, it should be decentralizing. So we don't need to pay a bunch of people to create money when we can do it in, you know, there are many different ways. But what I always tell people is, you know, yes, let's do Cash Friday. But on a permanent basis, if you want to start a community currency, all you have to do is get a group of people, a group of businesses, a group of different households in a community, just start using your gold and silver coins.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Just start and using
even, even during the Depression, Catherine, you had over 3,000 communities in the U.S. that created some kind of local community script. You have one of the community, they started creating their own coins out of wood, you know, pressing them out of wood, and they still have that thing around as a museum piece. But there's a number of ways that you can do this. But of course, the silver and gold is ideal, especially silver, because it's not as high value, and you can, use the coins in an easier way to do that.
So if you go to the silver and gold calculator, this is a wonderful tool that Franklin Sanders of the Money Changer created many years ago. And we built a website so people could use it. And then it ran into serious trouble. And so we've had it rebuilt. It will translate from many different currencies all over the world between gold and silver. You can choose whether you want to use gold and silver or all gold, all silver, of course, local coins. And you can choose on the silver between 1 ounce and 90% silver. And then in addition, in two pages supporting it, we have a list of all the gold coins and all the silver coins, bullion coins that are and show the price and melt value. So it'll do all the calculations for you.
That's great.
So that you can transact in gold and silver. We're working now on making an Apple, an iPhone app and a Linux phone app, and those will be out shortly. So you can just put it on your phone. All you need is a group of people in one place to agree now. You know, if you're in a state that has a state depository, you're even luckier because you can put the gold and silver in the State Department and just start passing chits around.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways of taking back our power. The big one that we're working on, and I hope to have out by the end of the summer, is where the rubber's going to meet the road, David, on the money side, is taxes.
Yep.
We can't keep paying people to kill us.
That's right.
if you're paying the local school board to poison and, turn your child into an idiot, you can't afford to pay real estate taxes to fund that. You've got to.
That's right.
The rubber's going to meet the road. We have governments who are acting outside the law. And as citizens under the Constitution, we're responsible to enforce the law if they are behaving as criminal enterprise.
That's right. And we have the NEA, Catherine, just had their, they're having their convention right now. They're going to vote as to whether or not they're going to mandate vaccines for teachers and for staff and for students. But they've already come out saying that they're going to teach critical race theory, even as we have legislatures all over the country saying, no, we're not going to teach that. We've got teachers going on social media defiantly saying, no, we are going to teach it. And you can't stop them from doing that. The only way you can do that is to get your kids out and to defund the schools, isn't it?
Here's the reality. And, you know, because there are many different symptoms, But the reality is your children are not getting a great, your children are not learning how to be successful in the world, the way the world is going. Mm-hmm. They're being trained and taught to become failures. You cannot, you know, if you look at the investment of a family's time or a family's money in raising their children, sending them to school, you cannot let them go into a process that's going to turn them into a failure.
That's right.
And so the time has come. You have to homeschool. You have to start new schools. You cannot send your children into this. It was really interesting. I'll never forget in May of 2019, I pulled into this beautiful resort where I was going to stay for one night before flying out of Bangkok to back to the United States. And I have this wonderful subscriber in California. And whenever she sends me something, I know it's really important. And so I made the mistake, instead of just going down to the swimming pool, I made the mistake of opening her email. And she had sent me a video of two California mothers who were trying to stop the new sex education program for kids in California. And David, I watched this, and what they were doing was they were teaching the children how to become sex slaves.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You know, when we look at the transgender thing that they're pushing to kids in kindergarten, I've said for the longest time, this is also about legalizing pedophilia, because if the kids can make the mature decision of what gender they want to be, of course, they could consent to sex. And so I said, that's the subtle thing that they're doing them. But they're right. They're teaching them. These are Brave New World type schools, where they're teaching them perversion. They're teaching them sex slavery. They're teaching them this gender confusion. I mean, it is just criminal what we're allowing happen to our kids. And we're letting this go on, and we're funding it.
Well, but we're not. I mean, everywhere I see parents fighting it. And the biggest challenge the parents have fighting it, you know, I would suggest you is entrainment technology and subliminal programming, because we are watching very serious mind control technology used, you know, on the TV, used in the media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's absolutely critical to me that when you pull your kid out of school, you also turn off the TV and throw it out.
Absolutely. That's right. Because that is the other channel where they're pulling that in. And what I talked about this last week, you had, it was not this last Sunday, I think maybe it was the Sunday before that, or maybe it was this last Sunday, Disney Plus had this pathetic, from production values, it looked like it was some kind of public access TV thing. And they had a drag queen, and they had all of these other things targeting your kids. This is Disney, this is Paramount, and this is Netflix. All of them are targeting your children very, very laser-like in terms of what they're targeting them for. And so, yeah, you have to understand that you don't want to have these people in your house. You don't want to hide them.
One of the great things about, there's always good and bad. One of the interesting things about the pandemic is a lot of parents, because their kids were going to school online, got a load of the crap they're being shoveled,
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they're saying, what?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I tweeted out, I said, you know,
I finally got through to.
That's right. What's happening with the NEA? I responded to that by saying, you know, actually, I think this is a kind of a positive thing, because that's going to give us a big pool of students, and it's going to give us a big pool of teachers who don't want to have vaccinations forced on them, parents who don't want to have their kids re-educated into CRT, and they've all been given a chance to see what is really happening. And also, by doing school at home, doing school online, not just seeing what was happening in the schools, but also getting a taste of it, being forced to do homeschooling and saying, you know, I think we could do this, and we could do it better than they're doing it, a lot better than they're doing it.
So when I used to work in Washington, I had a wonderful friend named John Edward Hurley, who was head of the Confederate Museum. Mm-hmm. And he gave a wonderful presentation one day at the Smithsonian Club where he was talking about Southern culture, and some young guy in the audience stood up and said, "What, you know, what does this have to do with me? Why is this important?" And he said, "Young man, culture is the integration of the divine in everyday life." and I told John Edward, you know, several years later, I said, "You forgot to warn us that it can also be the integration of the demonic in everyday life."
That's right. Yeah. Well, that was
there's more. this is a war, yes. and it's a war between people who want their children to grow up in a culture that integrates the divine. And we have the schools captured by people who want to integrate the demonic. And the question is, and it comes back to taxes, are we going to fund that? We have the power to stop funding it.
That's right. And that goes back, you talk about the Confederate Museum. It was R.L. Dabney, who was a chaplain for Stonewall Jackson. He did a long treatise on schools and why the government should have absolutely nothing to do with them. And the central point there, Catherine, was that it's all about instilling religion, just as that guy said and just as you said. So you can either have a demonic or a divine religion, but it's going to be installed one way or the other. The question is, whose values, whose religion is going to be installed? Right. And you can't have the government involved in any way and still have the First Amendment, where you have a plurality and a free exercise of religion. You're going to then be shutting down religions, and that's what we've seen happening over the last 60 years.
Yeah, but let me just back up and let's look at this structurally. You know, for many years, we've had a balance of power between the private bankers who controlled monetary policy through the Fed and the Treasury that reported to Congress, you know, who essentially were chosen, directly or indirectly by the voters. And so you have a balance of power between the bankers and the voters. Now the bankers are taking over the government, and increasingly, you know, you and I have tracked the financial coup since the mid-90s. And that's the central bankers taking over more and more power. Mm-hmm. We need to take the government back. So I can envision a world where governments are useful. You know, they fix the roads. Mm-hmm. So, but we need to take the government back from the central bankers. What the central bankers would love to do is have us blame the government and destroy the government, because then they can have everything run by private corporations and banks.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And we see that happening all the time. The Conservative Heritage Foundation, Cato Institute with the libertarians, when it comes to our speech, when it comes to so many of these other issues, it's like, well, you know, corporations can do no evil, just like the socialists are saying the government can do no wrong. And what they don't realize is how they're connected and how they're controlled from the top down and how they're both being used by this. I don't want a corporation taking away my fundamental rights and freedoms any more than I want the government taking them away. But you're exactly right.
But you know, so the establishment has put a plan on the table called the Going Direct Reset. And the time has come where we have to put our plan on the table. And I think the way I used to have a wonderful deputy when I worked in government, it would say, in the destruction of the old, let there be the creation of the new. And that's why with the different tools we're trying to build, we're trying to help that 5 to 10% who's willing to lead the fight, to give them the tools they need to gather, to meet, to win the war in the trenches. And as they do, start to go to work on how are we going to build local food systems? How are we going to redo our energy systems? You know, there's massive productivity that can be created economically on the ground if we take back and rebuild the economy. But we're going to have to do it by stopping the demonic. And as we stop the demonic, we turn the wheel.
And I love what you've done, again, with these forums, and I'll just plug this one more time. One of the things that you say about the college situation, because so many people look at this and they think that they're planning and being wise. You know, they look at, well, on the one hand, I think this is a very risky thing, but on the other hand, I have to provide for my child's future. And to get them to stop and think about what this could do to your child's future if they're forced as a condition of going to college to take these vaccines. But then it's the form that they can take to the college forces them to respond to your question, as you pointed out, provides you with all the requirements by the FDA, makes them review all of the ways that they are breaking the law, holds them 100% financially responsible, and do this to your employers as well. One of the things, key ways that they're putting this pressure on us is economically. You want a job? You want a job in the future that you could get by going to college? Then you take this vaccine, and we've got to find ways to push that back. And I love the way that you did this, laying it all out, paperwork that they can take to their employer, to the college, to the school, and say, all right, here's what this is about. And that's the perfect approach. Thank you for doing that.
So one thing I would say, I used to, when I was an investment advisor, work out curriculums for my clients' kids. Mm-hmm. What I will tell you, if you look at the price of education in many places in the world today, it is a much better return on investment for you to sit down, make a learning plan for what your kids need to learn to be successful in a global economy and to do whatever it is they want to do. Mm-hmm. And for the college years, build a curriculum where you don't just go to one college. You do, you know, you travel around, you do this here, you do this there. But I would tell you most colleges, with some exception in most areas, are a complete waste of money, David.
Yeah.
I can, a family inventing its own curriculum specifically designed to produce the best education for their individual child can come up with something much, much better, including not turning out a kid in 4 years who's so full of hubris, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, that they can't get anything done.
That's right.
You know, it's interesting when they passed the National Housing or the Housing Act that nationalized Fannie and Freddie in 2008, I read the whole thing. It was a couple hundred pages long. And I called my attorney, who's a big expert in mortgage fraud and housing. And I said, you know, she had a 16-year-old son. I said, it is easier for your son to learn how to build his own house than to bother with a mortgage finance system and home building system.
That's a great analogy.
It's easier to sit down. Well, if you look at the technology now to you know, to help us build our own homes.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a revolution. And so it really, you know, Marshall McLuhan once said automation is going to be a do-it-yourself age. Mm-hmm. And that's the case.
You look at the maker revolution that is happening out there as well. Right. It echoes what I'd heard Jim Rogers say decades ago. He had a book called Investment Biker, where he'd gone around the world.
Yeah, that was a great book.
Yeah. And he said, and I think it was in that book that he said he had a friend of his who, she had a lot of money. She could send her kid to any elite business school. And she said, recommend one to me. You know, she was thinking about Wharton or whatever. And he said, look, instead of spending, at that time, it was only $100,000. Can't imagine what it is today. But he said, instead of spending $100,000 on it, he said, give the $100,000 to your kid. Let them start a business. And whether the thing succeeds or fails, they'll learn more with that business in a couple of years, succeed or fail, than they would going to get an MBA.
I'm a great believer in a university education, but it's very hard to get, and you're much better doing it as your own, you know, be the dean of your own education.
That's right. Well, that is the message, and you've done a great job of putting that stuff together at Solari. Again, forms to help you, whether it is the discussion in your family or whether it is a back and forth with pressure that's being put on you by the school or by your employer or by the college. This is the key thing of why I wanted to get you on, Catherine, was to talk about this, because I think these are very, very powerful tools. I didn't know about your silver and gold calculator, but that's great as well.
So I'm so glad to have the opportunity, and thank you for promoting these. I just want to make sure everybody knows you have our permission to republish this, to translate it, to readapt it for your jurisdiction or your situation. You know, whatever you need to do to protect your family and children, wherever you live, wherever you are, just do it.
That's great.
You know, this is our...
That's great.
This is our, you know, this is our first step, but nobody is as smart as all of us. So take it and make it better.
That's right. And we're all in this together. You know, those of us who understand what's happening, you know, we're not going to be able to survive if we're atomized and apart from each other. I just played yesterday in Canada. You had a local public official and they were questioning, why are you still banning meetings? And the guy said, well, it could be because, you know, transfer of the virus. But then he started talking about but the real issue, the thing that's really dangerous, is we don't want you guys getting together and sharing misinformation. In other words, we don't want you talking to each other. I mean, he was adamant about that. And he said it on television in a question and answer period. So that's really been the key. That's what all this censorship is about. They don't want us communicating solutions to each other. That's why this is so important. People need to go to Solari.com. Catherine has got some great resources there, and we didn't even have time to get into talking, but we'll get you back again. I want to talk to you about the disaster capitalism and the zoning, because I've seen this ramping up for decades, but your analysis of that was wonderful out of Planet Lockdown. So some people have cut that out and put that in separate places, but if you haven't seen that, you need to see Catherine's analysis of disaster capitalism and what's really behind those riots.
There is a benefit to having been Assistant Secretary of Housing and learned the game.
That's right. You know exactly what it is. That's true. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Catherine Austin Fitz, Solari.com. Take a look at those forms. It'll get you and other people in your family to think about this, how this is going to affect your family, how this is going to affect your future, all of you, your children, everyone. And it gives you ammunition to take to these people who are pressuring you, who are gaslighting you. It makes you think about the cost, the true cost, and it makes them think about what it's going to cost them as well. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with a short wrap-up. Stay with us. Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family. All right, in the few minutes that we've got, I just wanted to finish up and say a little bit more about China. Because we've had, other than CNN and Charlie Munger with Berkshire Hathaway praising this because it is everything that they ever wanted, you do have a lot of articles pushing back on what has happened the last 100 years. I would say since the mid-1940s is really when this has happened. So they're going to have another big celebration coming up then. I guess they assume that they're going to rule the world by then. And if we allow the technocrats to have their way, that will be the case, because this is exactly the kind of government that people like Elon Musk, people like Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, all of these people envision. That's why they put them in this position. The sort of thing that you had Henry Kissinger help to open up China, because, again, this is exactly the kind of elitist, brutal regime that they would like to establish everywhere. As The Sun points out, putting on a glossy, carefully stage-managed image to the rest of the world, the communists have attempted to airbrush their horrific history of show trials, executions, and some of the worst torture imaginable. And in this article, they show pictures of a long line. Pull this up, Travis, and show people the picture of these guys. They've got a armed soldier with each prisoner, and they've got their arm on their shoulder as they're putting them in line to be executed, mass executions. And they also have pictures on that same article of a Tibetan monk holding up electrical torture devices. We've heard stories that they don't talk about in this of how they do organ harvesting from people, groups that they do not like, the Falun Gong Christians, and, of course, the plasticized bodies exhibition. I got into a big fight with a homeschooling network back in the 1990s because they were saying, take the kids to see this bodies thing. And I said, well, you might want to take a look at where these bodies are coming from and the fact that they've gotten some of these with bullet holes in the head. You might want to look at these organ donation things that they're running where they're taking the organs out of people alive. This is a unbelievable disregard of human life, the way they treat this. And, of course, the speech was around Tiananmen Square, where they killed several thousand people. And, you know, it was just a couple of months ago that we had Microsoft, on the anniversary of Tiananmen Square, taking down the picture of Tank Man. That's right. And they said it was an accident. You believe that? You believe that it's a coincidence? I don't believe that for a moment. As a matter of fact, as Munger is bragging about the Chinese and how brutal they are, he said, you know, what they've been able to do, and we had the people bragging about this in mainstream media even before Trump did the lockdown, even before Trump went full China on us. You had people saying, well, you know, what they've been doing with biometric surveillance and the social credit system, that may be kind of creepy if they're doing that just for political purposes, but boy, that's really going to help them with this pandemic, and we should be establishing that system for the pandemic. And I said, you understand, they're just using the pandemic to usher in that system. Don't you understand that? Clearly, that is what has happened. Munger went on CNBC and said, our own quote-unquote wonderful free enterprise system is letting all these crazy people go to all this gross excess, but the Chinese step in and preemptively stop any speculation. So who's he talking about? Who are the big speculators here? Is it you and me? We're the ones who are being punished. No, no, it's the Federal Reserve, isn't it? This is funding of speculation by the banks, speculation by Wall Street, pouring money into Wall Street as if they were pouring gasoline onto a fire. And that was the only economic growth that Donald Trump cared about, was the stock market. Munger also praised China's approach to the current health crisis, see? Still praising them. They praised them before this happened, and now they still praise them. He says, as a totalitarian state, China had the luxury to simply shut the country down for 6 weeks. Well, it's a lot longer than 6 weeks, isn't it? He said, that turned out to be exactly the right thing to do. See, these people want the world turned into China. He said they did it exactly right. Elon Musk, it is truly amazing, which is exactly what you would expect from somebody who is part of this family is technocracy royalty. France is now probing fashion retailers for concealing crimes against humanity as they're using slave labor, because slave labor is a big part of the China price. Slave labor is what the globalist capitalists want. They always defended this, and I always saw the economic arguments by the open borders people, by the people who were pushing NAFTA, pushing to have industry relocated to China. And remember, back in the 90s, these conservative and libertarian organizations would make the argument and say, well, you don't want to have dirty manufacturing done here, do you? You want to have it in China. And, of course, you know, if, no matter how dirty the environment is in China, we don't have to worry about it. But you know, if we do anything in America, it's got global consequences. But there's no global consequences for anything that is done in China to these people. And so a big part of this has always been the slavery, and they would say, well, you don't want to have a job working in a dirty factory, do you? We want to have that done over there by those people. They'll work for next to nothing, and then they'll make nice goods, and you can take in each other's laundry. And I called that for what it was when they said that. So how reprehensible that is. You're going to do this to other people in another country, and you don't think that this is going to come back to you? Let me just understand that even if you could make that work, even if that didn't impoverish us as it has now, all of that has come home to roost. You know, we're now reaping the whirlwind. We sowed to the wind, and we're now reaping the whirlwind. If we are going to step back and allow people to be treated like these fashion retailers are, Reuters is saying, then they mentioned four companies, Japan's Fast Retailing, the owner of Zara, clothing outlets, Inditex is the name of that company, France's SMCP, and Skechers. Those are the four that they singled out for using a particularly virulent form of slave labor to be investigated. But if we're going to embrace that, God hates that. And so there's many ways that that's going to blow back on us. It's absolutely reprehensible, morally undefensible to do that type of thing to people. And if we're willing to do that and say, yeah, well, let them operate as slaves, we'll sit back and reap the benefits. And that was the basis for that morally corrupt, now financially bankrupt global system that we're now reaping. China initially denied that the camps existed, but has now since said that they are vocational centers designed to combat extremism. Does that sound familiar? Do you see that happening here? Everything's extremist this, extremist that. We need to have camps to put people into, you know, for this protection of society. You may not even be sick, but if we run a test and it says that you're going to likely get sick, because I know you don't have any symptoms now, but the test says that you will. And so we're going to have to put you in a camp. And oh, by the way, the test may also find that you're an extremist. In late 2019, China said all the people in the camps had graduated. What does that mean? That mean they've gone on to their reward? And again, it was not until 1949 that they gained control of the country and from the nationalist forces. You had class-motivated mass killings that continued for about another 30 years. You had mass starvation as they centrally planned the food production and then weaponized the food allocation to the people that they considered to be their political enemies. Yeah, the Great Leap Forward in 1958 was the original Great Reset. And everything that's being done in China, they plan to do to the rest of us throughout the world. An army of 180,000 troops going in to shut down and to murder people in Tiananmen Square. And now we have their corporate partners, Microsoft. You have Elon Musk, you have Charlie Munger applauding this, you have Microsoft hiding the pictures of Tank Man. Do you understand? This is a club that you ain't in, but it is a murderous club. Never had a worse group of people in control of our societies and our economies and our governments, and it is happening globally. It doesn't matter if the party calls itself Republican or conservative or Democrat or liberal or socialist or green. They are all following the same plan. And your government, until you understand that, this is one of the reasons why this last year, in terms of Trump, in terms of the election, if you do not understand who this guy works for, if you do not understand who Boris Johnson works for or Justin Trudeau, you think that these guys are on different pages? You think that Donald Trump is different on the fundamental issues than Joe Biden? They're doing exactly the same thing. Neither one of them were going to mandate the vaccines, for example. From Washington, they're going to do it through the employers. They're both following the same China plan, the China plan that is being run by the technocrats. And of course, they're just the human fronts for this satanic program. That's it for today's broadcast. You can join us on KHNC. You'll find that at 1360KHNC.com immediately following this broadcast. Thank you for listening.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.